Jumping in on Manx Radio
with Howard and Chris Kane.
Hello,
good evening,
and welcome. And welcome along once again to another Jumping In Saturday night, 9 o'clock, Manx Radio. Where would you rather be? The best in modern and contemporary jazz with myself, H.
And me, Chris. Yes, welcome along to this week's show, which features the first of our London Jazz Festival interviews, more of which later on. So, Franklin and Gladys are waiting in the wings on the back of Eunice. You have to wonder if the Met Office would be better choosing some jazz names from the greats who have already shown they can blow like a cannonball. Coltrane, Tubby, or Parker, or perhaps a more gentle Storm Sunny. So, what's been storming through your speakers, but without blowing them this week, H?
All marvellous stuff. We are indeed looking forward to the first of our specials, an interview with a wonderful composer and a band leader. I will be doing a bit of 11th houring with Jonathan, and there might be going what goes around, and if we can, we'll get a bit of a joker in.
And from me, a Knarr Viking ship, a drop of rain, a hawk, and to get us underway, chocks away. Here's Aircraft from our guest on the show later on, Catherine Winfield and her big band. We'll be right back. Fantastic. Aircraft, the title track from our guest, Catherine Winfield's debut big band album back in 2015. Hailing from Denmark, Catherine's debut, I think, gives an early indication of how her style would develop and her programmatic writing. She said aircraft being two words, the air one uses to blow into an instrument, and how over time the skill and control you develop becomes your craft. And of course, the movement of an aircraft through the air, so loaded with intention, power, and its transparency. Well, we'll hear more from her a little later on.
Absolutely wonderful stuff, marvellous talent, and a really nice person as well. She's super friendly and just come straight in from Copenhagen and said, oh, interview, fine guys, yes, lovely, come in here, sit down, what do you want to know? Couldn't falter, wonderful stuff. It is indeed jumping in with Chris and myself. H, here's one that didn't squeeze into last week. There's been loads of some great new stuff coming out recently. This is a new one coming out in the next week or two from Vincent Pirani, the wonderful, usually barefooted accordion player. Going in a slightly new direction, I rather like it. It sort of seems to have a mixed review so far, I think. Oh, it's always the way when you go in a new direction, I guess. But I quite like it. He's happily entitled this. Slightly tongue-in-cheek, perhaps. Who knows? This is the new shit. We'll be right back. great stuff. I rather like it, actually. I must admit, I was quite taken by that one in the car on the way home the other day. The accordionist Vincent Parani, his latest release on ACT, coming out in the next couple of weeks, I think. Jokers, as it says in the notes, once again, expect the unexpected. He reshuffles the cards. As a good jazz musician, he likes to venture into unexplored territories. As a good music fan and very good musician in general, he's curious, enthusiastic and eager to make new discoveries and find new things to listen to or play. Jokers, his first album in trio, goes even further and elsewhere. Yeah, well, I wouldn't actually necessarily disagree with that. Federico Casagrande on guitar and Ziv Ravitz on drums and keyboards on that trio. Well worth checking it out. I haven't got the exact release date in front of me, but I think it's in the next couple of weeks or thereabouts. Terrific stuff, and I've just been listening to the rest of the album now, and that's my favourite track thus far. But you never know until they give it time, do you? But I always like people who shoot off in different directions, because it'd be like Miles, isn't it? You never knew where you were going next.
Not so sure he did in some cases, but he normally made a good go of it. And now, Catherine Wenfield, we played her at the opening of the show. We was very fortunate to catch up with her in the back room at Ronnie Scott's. Once we'd helped her in with her luggage, she'd literally walked in through the door, having arrived from the airport, and was very happy to give us an interview. So I asked her, as it wasn't the big band we were seeing, but a sextet, how long have they been together?
10th year's anniversary for the sextet? Yeah, I think so, actually. Yeah. Wow, thank you for reminding me. Yeah, it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've had a huge success, of course, with your big band writing and arranging, and the latest release, Orca, has done very well, but as indeed did the two big bands before. So coming into this style of music, were you attracted to big bands first or small groups, or how did you develop into your writing style?
I've been fascinated by small groups in the first hand, and then afterwards I've been checking out a lot of big band stuff. But at first I was mainly interested in odd meter stuff and folk music, and that was mainly with small groups. But then I got a class on the or course at the music academy that was called Writing for Big Band, and I got totally hooked because I've always been writing music, and at first I had a quintet, and then I loved to work with the different voices.
Yes.
And I sang in a classical choir, so it felt natural to work on a larger scale. So that's how I've discovered the writing for large ensembles.
And how do you think it actually differs between writing for small group ensembles and writing for the big bands?
When you write for a big band, you have to be sure that you have plenty of ideas. If you only have one idea, maybe you can make a lead sheet for a small group. But in order to write for a large ensemble, you have to think like more symphonic. And I need to have several ideas to develop a long piece. Because if you only have one small idea in unison, then you have 15 hungry lions sitting there and only playing the same stuff, and it's not too great. So you have to, you have to think pretty differently.
Mm-hmm. I know that when you were learning, you, I think, spent some time with Jan Lundgren, who probably, was he one of your teachers, who would have helped certainly with the folk influence, I think, looking into jazz. And also Ethan Iverson from the Bad Plus, of course. So that's very, very different end of the scale. Mm-hmm. And both familiar with working with quite smaller groups. But larger groups, as you say, working for a large ensemble, you have to give them something different to work with. Is there any, would you cite any particular influences in large-scale band scoring for the harmony style, like Maria Schneider, maybe, or Kenny Wheeler, or anyone who particularly who influenced you, would you say?
I would say harmonically, I've been studying the Thad Jones style. Of course, like stylistic, if in terms of rhythm and approach, I'm not aiming to sound like Thad Jones, but the level of dissonances has been very inspiring. But in terms of the rhythmical stuff on the horizontal level, Dave Holland is my main source of inspiration. Also, partly in the on the harmonic level, I would say his modern approach and his fantastic way of writing in odd meters for large ensembles, that knocked me out totally. He's the main reason why I started writing for big band, because I was playing in several amateur big bands and I got so frustrated because, oh, hey, Bernard, and it all sounds like the same.
Yes.
And it can be great. Of course, lots of the big band composers back in the day were brilliant and great, but when you often when you play in a not too professional big band, when I was young, you know, it sounds so like one big mess, and it gets so heavy. So yeah. I was actually not attracted by big band music at all, but I wanted to reinvent it somehow. I think, okay, I can do better. I want to make a power package of young, hungry musicians that play some upmeter stuff that is crazy and harsh and a lot of attitude, a lot of upmeter stuff. So I was a little provoked by the fact that so much big band music sounded so boring and so heavy. So I took it as a challenge somehow.
Funnily enough, we were talking to Dave Holland yesterday because he's been here, of course, playing with John Schofield.
In a duo.
So, yeah, quite the opposite, just literally a duo situation. But as you say, his big band writing and his sound is unique. Is it difficult then, as you say, being inspired by the likes of Dave, is it difficult to sort of find your own voice within a big band scenario? Because as you say, it can sometimes sound muddled. Is it difficult to come through with your own voice within the big band?
I do my best to discover a lot of different music, and I'm never thinking of now I have to write something groundbreaking, because if your only focus is being a pioneer and groundbreaking, then you get too nervous and too restrained, because then you write a da 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 da. Okay, that's too mainstream. That's mainstream. So I just focus on trying to to thrive on all the inspiration I get from very different styles of music, and I just try to be super creative. I try to focus on the creative part of it, and then somehow it's up to others to judge if I am original or if I sound like myself. I would never be able to tell that. So I just do my best to be very open, to listen to classical music, from where I also have some of my harmonic ideas, listen to rock music, listen to a lot of, like everybody has done. I just, instead of trying to not being Dave Holland, I'm trying to do the same thing that he has done. He has also been checking out old school stuff, modern stuff. So I think that's the thing. And then if people think that you have invented your own style, you're very lucky. But I should be the last one to say, oh, I'm a pioneer. It's up to others to judge. I just do my best to be super creative and super focused on what I do. And then I hope for the best.
Now, I understand that you're an artist as well. And do you take a lot of inspiration from nature and from the environment around you? Do you find perhaps when you're on the road, you get different ideas from when you're at home?
Yeah, I do so. I'm a very sensitive human and I sense a lot from my surroundings. And so I feel that I'm very much in contact with my creative part of the brain. And it's that said, it's super hard sometimes when you are a leader of a band to switch between the rational part or the part of your brain that you're using when you have to sign a contract and book the train tickets, mm-hmm. and then switch to being creative and totally in the moment. So yes, I'm trying to, at least when I'm practicing and writing music, I'm trying to get rid of all other thoughts and just being there. But it also takes a lot of organization and a lot of logistics to lead a band. And luckily, I have more help. Mm-hmm. I have people who help me now. And that has been so great because I think that was really needed because in the beginning I was working so hard. I took my big band to London to a six-day England tour, 15 persons like 3 or 4 years ago. Me, myself, managing everything.
Wow, yeah.
You know, wow, that was too much. That was great, but it was admittedly too much. So yeah. I was like, after that, okay, I need some help. Okay, because nobody come and say thank you if you just break down and don't play for 3 years. So you have to, nobody say thank you. Oh, I'm so tired, I'm exhausted. Yeah, okay, go fix yourself somehow. And it's super important because I'm from a countryside. I'm used to go by bicycle for 10 kilometers to go to school. And I'm used to work hard. And I'm used to have this pride of doing things myself.
Yeah.
But to some extent, you should really be honest to yourself. Is this too much? Because it's super dangerous. And so many leaders in general, not only musical leaders, but so many leaders are pushing themselves too much. And it's super hard to find the limit because it's so much fun at the same time.
Yeah. One thing we've noticed, and I like very much to open the show with a big band. We generally open with a big band. And firstly, it's fantastic how many modern big bands are surviving despite the costs of being on the road and COVID and everything else. But also, I've noticed there's a lot of girls leading bands, fantastic bands. Of course, Maria Schneider, the Jensen sisters, in lovely Vanessa Perica from Australia and Hendrika Ensian. But great, great new writing coming up. Do you think there are more women in general in jazz now?
There might be more, but in Denmark, I think actually like 10 years ago, there were more like professional female players, but I don't know globally actually, or I don't know in which territory you
were. When you were studying, were there a lot of girls studying jazz with you, or?
There was, we were a handful, I think, but some of them have stopped playing now and some still do. And but I don't think that it's only a matter of that they don't feel welcome in the jazz environment. I think many of them have other interests too. So I think it's a little tricky, because some of them, I still have contact with them and they are doing well, but they are doing other things. And so it's a little tricky, this with you have to welcome women and they have to feel welcome. And of course, in the history, women have been treated so badly, and no doubt about that, and no doubt that we all want equality, but I think it's a very complex question, because, yeah, that was not your question, but that's what my reflection on the whole thing. So, but for sure, there are many women who are great at leading a band.
So going forward, you're saying you've just got the new release out, brought some with you this evening, obviously. We'll be hearing this music this evening at Ronnie's. In the future, or plans for the next sort of 12 months going forward, more big band, more work with the sextet, or is it a case of taking what's comes?
We are doing both. We are playing in Poland and Germany with the sextet, and I hope to play a lot with this band. And my big band has just been, we just got a request from a Portuguese festival. Super great, where we are supposed to play with Gerard Presenza and Seamus Blake as soloists.
Fantastic.
And I've booked a couple of gigs with a big band in Denmark. And next week I have a commission where I have to write a Christmas Big Band Christmas score for Copenhagen Big Band. And this Friday I'm conducting a local big band in Denmark too. So I have a lot of small... and I'm recording, I'm playing piano on a trio record in January. I'm guesting a trio. So there is some things coming up, so I'm looking super much forward to just be continuing.
And plenty of variety.
Yeah, a lot of variety. And that has also been super great during COVID, because besides from doing the commission, I was also booked for the TV show. So I made I was participating in 8 programs that also made an income for me. So I was super lucky during the lockdown. I had some other things to do, because I think it's brilliant with my sidemen here in this band. They are so great players and so on, but I'm super lucky to be very broad in my interests and my doings. So and I made some online workshops in the UK and Denmark, and so it's nice to have different legs to stand on to lean on. So yeah, sometimes I regret that I have so many interests, but during lockdown it was a huge benefit to be a little more versatile somehow.
Yeah. Catherine, we'd like to thank you very much for taking the time out to speak with us. Have a great gig tonight. We're looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to hearing the new recording as well. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Nice. Indeed. And very good of Catherine to take the time out to talk with us and look out for that new recording as well.
That's really good, we have
a little bit of Dave Holland before then.
A bit of Dave Holland and that track Crescendo from, as you say, that new album, Determination.
And next for me, a bass player I've long enjoyed the work of, Ingrid Hecker Flatten. They don't get any easier to say, do they? Originally from Norway, but a long-time resident of the US, where his music as often as not tended to be at the freer end of the spectrum. Apart from perhaps his jazz rock trio Krokofont, well, his latest release, Exit Knarr, I think falls somewhere in between. See if you agree. Here's Miles Avenue for Austin. We'll be right back.
this is Katrine Windfeldt from Denmark, and you're listening to the Manx Radio Jumping In with Chris and H.
Taking inspiration from Bach's 24 Preludes and Fugues, that was Bram Weiches and Chad McCulloch. Their common piece, it says, centres on a musical cell that moves through 24 pieces progressing with a structured order through all 12 key centres twice, just like a clock cycles a day twice a day. And before that, of course, we had Miles Avenue for Austin from Ingrid Hecker Flatten. Well, that is just about it for this week. Thanks very much for Catherine for stepping in before. We've got plenty more interviews to come, have we not?
More interviews from the London Jazz Festival. Hope to see her. Catherine Windfeldt again. Love to see her with the big band as well, or even in a smaller setting. The terrifically sextet set at Ronnie's that night. And we have indeed some great talking, including, of course, the great Dave Holland.
Indeed, as he played in the background of Catherine's interview there. Well, that is just about it. We can leave you with a track from Berlin-based Swedish bassist Peter Eld, our regular with Django Bates' latest project, Problem Drums. However, Project Drums Volume 1 sees him building up tracks around beats of six disparate drummers. And the track we're going to hear, it's Eric Harland in the chair. The album's out now on Edition, and this is Hawk Mountain. See you next week.
Look after yourselves.